Genesis chapter number 6, nothing says Father's Day like the destruction of the world via flood. And so that's what we're, I mean, how can you not put the two together? Genesis chapter number 6 in verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Not sure why Brother Rice is humming right there. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also was flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God is stating some things to come. He says, I'm going to change mankind. If you look over just a page before, people were living close to 1,000 years. And he says, I'm going to cap it off at about 120. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in under the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before your throne, even in prayer. God, it's good to know that you hear us. God, we come to you once again as needy people. God, we too are surrounded by wickedness. We too are surrounded by sin. God, may we find grace in your eyes. And God, I pray that you would shelter us, protect us. Lord, help us to be the homes, the Christians, the families that you desire from us. Lord, bless this time now. Lord, meet our needs. Lord, we have many. And God, I pray that you'd use your word in a mighty way today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I know Genesis chapter 6 is not your typical Father's Day passage. You say, I thought we would be in Ephesians somewhere or Colossians talking about the role of the dad and all of those things. But I want to draw our attention to a man named Noah. Probably one of the most familiar stories in our scriptures. Outside of Jesus Christ and maybe David and Goliath and maybe Jonah, I would say Noah and the ark has got to be right up there with familiarity. Even the lost know about Noah. Our Sunday school kids learn about Noah. They study about Noah. We teach them about the animals coming in and all of that. But through light of Father's Day, we have a man that I would say would be noble in his actions. Say, was he royalty? Was he a king? No. No. But he was courageous. Being above everything that can dishonor a reputation, that's what was around him. And yet he stood up for what was right. Not, you know, we study the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is about a man that is so burdened over the broken walls of Jerusalem that he's grieved over these things. He's sent back, he builds it, and we see a man doing right in a moment and sparks revival. Noah wasn't like that. No, Noah has something on his side to prove his character, and it's called longevity. So how so? Noah does right for a long time. It wasn't like Nehemiah for a moment. No, Noah was noble. He was courageous for an extended period of time. What we need today are some men and women that will be courageous for an extended period of time. Because this just in, we are surrounded by wickedness. The familiarity of this passage, I hope you don't lose the significance of it. But I want to remind us here today that we too are surrounded by wickedness. Point number one this morning, Noah was surrounded. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, verse that we have already read, but let's read it again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If they imagined something, it wasn't to make society better. It was to live through wickedness. And that is the age in which Noah was living. Look at verse 11. Genesis 6:11 says this, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." That's where Noah lived. That's what he was surrounded with. And at the ripe old age of 500, God comes. He speaks to him. You know, go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Yes, you too, Christian, are surrounded by wickedness. We have the privilege of being on staff here at church, and the people that I work with on a regular basis are, by design, members of our church. You cannot work for church, our church, or be on staff and not a member here. Say that. That's kind of closed mind. That just protects us from a lot of problems. Unless you're a member here, you can't serve. Oh, I have the blessing of my staff meetings are people that are sitting right here right now. My staff meetings are surrounded with people that have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And Lord willing, as we all should, have spent some time with God through prayer and through Scripture. And then we try and solve problems. What a blessing. But not everybody has that. I understand that. Not everybody gets to sit next to the person or walk down the hall and say, "Hey, wait, I'm going through a rough time right now. Will you pray for me?" I understand not everybody has that. And I understand that the world is wicked and the world is dark and it is doesn't have much good to offer on any level. And that's where a lot of you work. That's where a lot of you are. You go in and out and you hear the jokes and you hear the wickedness and the mockings and the celebration of sin. Many of you have bosses that could care less about Sunday. It's another day to make money. And maybe there's a demand on you, and maybe there's a draw to you, maybe there's even a temptation to you to walk away from the truths of God. I want to remind you, Dad, I want to remind you, Christian, that Noah too was surrounded by wickedness. So much so that God repented that he even made man. That's how bad it was. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says this as Christians, it's helping us with this as it acknowledges that we are surrounded by wickedness. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We do not celebrate or even tolerate, listen, sin. I understand there's preferences and if you need help and maybe discernment from the Word of God, what is the difference between a preference and sin? Well, you should figure that out. But the Bible tells you, Christian, much like Noah, that you need to be separated. Even though you're surrounded, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather correct and reprove them, it says. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 that they did every imagination. They acted in every imagination. Go back there. Genesis chapter 6. If you haven't, keep your hand in Ephesians 5. We'll come back to that. But if not, it's easy to find. Good to have Debbie and Jim with us today. Praise the Lord. She told us this morning, it's been 16 years since you've been here. And yeah, for full time living here. That's been a long time. Seems like 2 days ago, but man, time goes by fast. Genesis chapter 8. Look at verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said to in his heart that I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart, look at, is evil from his youth. That hasn't changed. Man desires wickedness. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. This is God making a promise. Again, poor Noah. Could you imagine the someone spills coffee on you and you get categorized as PTSD. You know, the traumatic thing you went through. And this guy had every living person wiped out by the judgment of God in his life. Yeah, he's going to need some extra promises. He's going to need a little extra grace. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I promise. Because imagine the next time it started raining, per Noah. Everybody back in the boat. But he puts that promise up in the sky. He says, I just want to remind you, I'm not going to do that again. Because you're evil. He reminds us, evil. And again, in Ephesians or Genesis chapter 6, it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was no desire to do good. I am going to, what can we think of that is wrong? And then did it. That was where Noah lived. That's what he was surrounded by. You know, it says much about our imaginations in Jeremiah, but I just want to show you one verse, Jeremiah chapter 7. Just to remind us, man has not changed. And it is no excuse for us to compromise in our God-given principles and promises and commands. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24, it says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels, look at, and in the imaginations of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. Hey, anytime that you listen to your heart, you are susceptible to trouble. Your heart lies to you. Ever watch I don't know why, maybe this is wrong, I shouldn't even say it, but I like magic tricks. I think they're neat. I like sleight of hand. You know, all of a sudden a playing card comes out of nowhere and they're gone again. And you're like, wow, how's it? And you watch it on TV and it's like, well, I wonder if they're doing something. And here, what does it say? It says, an imagination of their heart, in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. God says that the imaginations were evil, that your heart can deceive you. Well, my eyes don't. Sometimes our eyes even deceive us. Ever make a judgment that wasn't right based on what you saw? Man, you pray for our friend Sean there. The Lord taught me a lot with him. Because what I saw and my natural tendencies and just say, what this guy is, the Lord used that to teach me some lessons that sometimes what you see isn't always on the inside. But here, what did they do? Noah was surrounded by wickedness, every imagination. You know, sometimes we live by the creek, and sometimes the little ones will say, Dad, can we go down to the creek? I'll bring the dog. Nah, only if your older brother or sister will go with you. Or I'll go down with you. Why? Because there's evil continually around us. They don't understand that. They don't know that. They just want to ride their bike in a parking lot and have a good time and go and try and catch crayfish and do all that kind of stuff. They don't know that there's wickedness out there. Imagine Noah. Shem comes to him and says, "Hey, Dad, can I go down to the..." No. That's where he lived. Ephesians chapter 5. Go back there. Noah was surrounded. And we may feel like, well, I'm surrounded too. Therefore, I get a pass and I get to... No, Noah didn't get a pass. Noah is surrounded by wickedness, yet he still chose to do that which is right. And Dad, I want to encourage you as a father, as the head of a home, parents, Christians. This isn't just a Father's Day message. Christians, even though you're surrounded by the wickedness of this world, have no fellowship. Verse 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." And he warns us, not as fools, but as wise. Hey, pay attention. Redeeming the time. Because why? Because the days are evil. It's written 2,000 years ago, still applicable. The days are still evil. There is still an imagination to do that which is wrong, and a desire for sin. And we as Christians need to be mindful of that and be protecting against that. Even though you're surrounded, be separated. The media is a mess. All that's on TV is violence, immorality, vulgarity. Listen, greed. That's what's promoted. Whether it's social media, whether it's streaming media, whether it's YouTube, TV, whatever it is, these things, it is, I would almost say, next to impossible to not find one of these. You can't watch a show without it, unless maybe you're watching Jeopardy. I like Jeopardy. Wheel of Fortune. Violence, immorality. Isn't that what it said? The whole world was filled with violence. We are surrounded by wickedness. We are surrounded by a society that has given up on parenting. We are surrounded by a society that has made divorce common, even within the church. That there's no absolute truths. The removal of final authority, that there is no discernment. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hey, this is what happens when there is no final authority. There is no right and wrong. How is it so that it's okay to kill an unborn child? Because there's no final authority. There's no discernment. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, verse 14. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How do you determine what is good and evil? Through the Word of God. That is the only way. Otherwise, it's just my opinion against your opinion. And that's what you think and that's what I think. But what does God think? What does God say? Hey, please understand, Noah was surrounded by wickedness. He was surrounded by a society that was violent. He was surrounded by a society that had no absolute truth, that could not determine the difference between good and evil. And that's where he lived. That's where he lived for 600 years. Oh, it's so tough being a Christian. 600 years he lived there, surrounded by wickedness. And I look at that and I go, listen, I know the end of the story. I know when they get out. I know how it all goes. But up to this point, hey, good job, Noah. Good job from keeping the wickedness somewhat out of your family, out of your life. So much so, the Bible says that, but God found grace in Noah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was just God picking Noah and saying, hey, I'm going to do something with you. If you would obey me, maybe Noah was caught up in just as much wickedness. We don't tell, it doesn't say that. Maybe it was something about his character that said, he's going to have faith in me and trust me. I don't know. But somehow, some way, even though Noah was surrounded by all this wickedness, God decided, I'll use you if you're available. Hey, Christian, do you understand that even though you are surrounded by wickedness, God comes by each and every single day and says, I'll use you if you're available. I can use you to be an example. I can use you to show this world what righteousness looks like. Have you compromised? Well, I'm just tired. Tired of fighting the world. 600 years. Noah was courageous. Noah was noble. Noah was surrounded. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Not only was Noah surrounded, but surprisingly, Noah was stable. In the midst of, again, we watch the news, or you try not to watch the news, and you see things that are going on, or you try not to see things that are going on. Whatever it is, you look at this world and go, this world is unstable. I'll just tell you, straight up, whether you watch the news or not, it's unstable. It feels like at any moment, this is like a house of cards. It's coming down.
Sure enough.
They sang that last verse of that song there about Jesus coming back. Man, I am so glad to know this.
Yep.
It is closer than it's ever been.
Yes,
I don't know when, but I know it's closer. It's closer now than when we started service. And we could keep doing that all day. But we'll stop there. But I know that the instability of this world has not changed. But yet Noah was stable. Say, what gave Noah his stability? Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Genesis 6, 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, walked with God. Even though he was surrounded by wickedness, he walked with God. So much so that God testifies of. Look at verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. His stability came from two places. Number one, his relationship with his God. And number two, his family. We're going to see the incredible help that his family was to Noah and fulfilling God's will. You know, God's view and man's view are always different. You know, men like Job, it says this in Job 1:1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. When I read the description of Noah, I can't help but think about that. Noah being a just man and perfect and walked with God. There's men like that. There's men like that that make an impact on their people around them, make an impact on their family. Say, oh, they just had... Hey, Noah was surrounded by wickedness and yet had stability. Why? Because he had a relationship with God. We can blame the world for being wicked, but we cannot blame the world for compromising our relationship with God. It's not the world's fault. Noah walked with God, telling me that you and I can walk with God right where we're at. His relationship with the world. You know, Psalm 14:1, a familiar verse, often quoted, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the way of man. But we know that's not true. When it says that Noah walked with God, what does that mean? That means he feared God. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. In verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hey, how could Noah keep the world at bay? How did he keep the wickedness out of his family, out of his life? Because there must have been something in his fear of God as he walked with God that there was a disdain and hatred for evil. Because when you fear God, you will hate sin. And you'll want nothing to do with it. You will not fellowship with it. But the Christian that does not fear the Lord, that does not walk with God, will compromise at a drop of a hat. Because there's no stability. There's no real relationship. Because the consequence of sin is just completely removed from our heart and mind. To walk with God not only means to fear God, but to love God. Luke chapter 10. That is the principal commandment. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Psalm 95. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to fear God. It means to love God. It means to worship God. Look at Psalm 95, verse 6. Hey, if God is who He says He is, and I'm walking side by side, you know what's going to be inside my heart? A desire to worship Him. You want to find a Christian that doesn't walk with God, that doesn't fear God? Know who they worship? Themselves. You find a person that has no care for God? Humanism. You find someone that walks with the Lord? How could you walk with God and not want to worship Him? Yeah. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship. Oh, look at this. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord. I don't bow to nobody. It's because you don't fear. Yeah. You don't fear God. When God comes to Noah and He says, I want you, I'm going to destroy this earth. I want you to build an ark. Nowhere do we see like Moses, I can't talk in front of people. I've never built an ark before. I didn't take that class in school. I don't know how to do that. Do you know how long that's going to take? Where's the lumber yard? He didn't come up with excuses. He feared God. He walked with God. He loved God. He worshiped God. So therefore, he obeys God. What gave Noah his stability? It wasn't the wickedness of the world. We cannot blame the wickedness of the world for our lack of relationship with God. It's not their fault. It's mine to not choose to walk with the Lord. It is mine to not fear God. It is mine to not love God, to not worship God, to not obey God. It's our fault. Noah not only was surrounded, but surprisingly stable. He was able to be counted on. He had a relationship with God and he had a relationship with his family. How do you know? Ever ask your children to take out the trash? Oh. I don't know where the trash bags are. Can you fold the laundry? That's not my laundry. Ever hear that? Anybody hear these things? Anybody say it? Some of our teenagers are in here. I've said that. Noah has a family meeting. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Tomorrow we're going to start on a little project around the house. All right, Dad, yeah, I'm excited. What is it? We're going to build an ark. What? Well, it's you know what? Just trust me and stay with me. We'll go through it together. We'll do it together. See, his children were needed for help. There's no way that he could have built a boat that large. I mean, there certainly could have been. But by himself. He was going to need some help. And from the day when he is told to the day it starts raining, the Bible tells us, and we'll look at it in a second, maybe not, no. The Bible says that he was 500 years old when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and he was 600 when it starts raining. So if I do the math, those are easy numbers. It's been a while since you've been in school, almost a week, Abby, but that's 100 years. Remember Lot? Go to Genesis chapter 19. A similar circumstance happens. Say, God told Lot to build an ark? No, but similar. Told him he was going to destroy the city. God tells Lot, I'm going to destroy the city. So Lot goes to his family. Kind of like Noah went to his family. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And says, I'm going to build an ark. And you know what we see? You know who we see get on the boat? Noah and Mrs. Noah. And Shem and Mrs. Shem. And Ham and Mrs. Ham. And Japheth and Mrs. Japheth. You know what we see when Lot goes and tells his family that God's going to not destroy the entire world with something they have never seen before, but he's going to rain down fire from heaven and destroy the city that they're in because of the wickedness. Two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 14, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. There's the family meeting. And the Bible says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Similar circumstance. Wickedness in their imaginations. God's judgment upon their land. But Lot didn't walk with God. And his family mocked him. Noah walks with God. And you know what he creates? He creates stability in his home. So when Dad comes and sits the family down and says, all right, I have something I need to tell you. God told me he's going to destroy this world. And we need to start building a boat immediately. And they were in. Hey, young person, you have a role and responsibility in to help execute what God has called your family to do in fulfilling God's will. The stability of Noah was, number one, his relationship with God. Number two, the strength of the family. Thirdly, Genesis chapter 6. And last, Genesis chapter 6. Maybe some of you have a roast in the oven today. Anybody roasting today? Right. What do you got? Ribs? Prime, are you cooking ribs? Steaks! How many do you got? Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. Number one, Noah was surrounded. Number two, he was stable. Number three, he was strengthened. Thus did Noah, in verse 22, Genesis 6, 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. so did he. What is it that he did? Well, for the last 100 years, he's been building an ark. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter. We'll get a little description just to see what it is that he did. God said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Anybody ever do roofing? Ugh, roof cement. He says, "I want you to take this boat," and say, "Well, maybe it was a little big boat," and seal it. "And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. If you can imagine, a cubit is a foot and a half. So that's 450 feet long. This building right here is 60 feet long. That's... yeah. That's huge. 100 years. No Home Depot. I'm not even sure Lowe's could have helped. "300 cubits, and the breadth of it, 50 cubits, so that's 75 feet wide, 30 cubits, 45 feet high. I know this, the peak is 24 feet. Almost double. Builds that for 100 years. The Bible says not only did he build it, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. I love when the New Testament gives us key nuggets about a person that it doesn't reference in the Old Testament. God tells us this. Happens in the book of Joel happens in Jude about Enoch. It tells us more details that Genesis does not give us about Enoch. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says this, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight person." The Bible says this about Noah. Nowhere do we see this in Genesis, but here it says this, "a preacher of righteousness." Maybe he didn't have a pulpit of wood, but his life preached a message. Your life needs to preach a message. God is who he says he is. And you can follow my life. Don't look too carefully. But for the most part, our life ought to follow the guidelines set forth in the scripture. And although you may never stand behind a pulpit and say, "I can't talk in front of people," your life ought to preach righteousness. And that's what Noah does. Preaching and building and working side by side with his children, gathering lots of animals. That's a lot of work. At the end of it, what does God think about Noah? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1 it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Did Noah obtain a good report? Well, in verse 7, the Bible says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet," and so you and I have also. Judgment is coming. I haven't seen it yet. I'm living in the age of grace. Honestly, Mr. Parrott is teaching the Trail of Blood. Some Christians have gone through some really hard things over the history. I've experienced next to none. If you want to use the pandemic as your moment of persecution, you might not want to bring that up in heaven. I'm not sure how well that's going to go. Some of these guys were sawn asunder. But by faith, now I understand we just got to be faithful in the things of where we're at. I'm not looking for persecution. But I need to be faithful where I'm at. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, it says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Dad, Mom, Christian, your faith can save your house. Imagine if Noah said, nah, it's just a bunch of fairy tales. Or, yeah, we'll follow it until it costs us something. Cost Noah 100 years of his life. Cost him every single friend he had. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He was surrounded, yet he had stability. And through it all, at the end, the Bible says he acted in faith. I want to encourage you that you too can be strengthened by faith. Just trust God for what he says, and where he leads your family, just do it. What we need are some Noahs. We need some men and women and Christians that are surrounded by wickedness that say, that's not coming in here. And establishing and maintaining a relationship with God through it all. We need some fathers who will trust God with everything they have. Our times are evil. But God has given us the wisdom and the discretion and even the strength to go through that with faith. Let's all stand.